What happens when businesses make unlocking the power of their data an organizational and cultural imperative? Find out in The Data Agenda, a new podcast series from Wall Street Journal Custom Content and Amazon Web Services, available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, January 3rd. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Well, it's a new year, and that means new tech. What kind exactly? Well, we've rounded up our team of experts to discuss the gadgets and trends they can't wait to get their hands on this year. On today's show, WSJ tech columnist Christopher Mims, personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen, and senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern will be here to talk us through the tech they think will get better, get cheaper, and do more for us. That's after these headlines. AT&T and Verizon have rebuffed a request from federal transportation officials to delay the launch of 5G service, which was planned for Wednesday. The Federal Aviation Administration and the Department of Transportation had asked the carriers to postpone their planned 5G launch by no more than 2 weeks, while officials reviewed the impact of the new signals at specific airports. In a letter reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, the companies instead offered to dim the power on the 5G service for 6 months to give U.S. authorities more time to study its effects on air traffic. The limits match those imposed by regulators in France, where carriers argue U.S. airlines are permitted to operate flights. The wireless carriers have spent the past year preparing to turn on new signals that will offer faster and more capable mobile service. The FAA has said the new signals could confuse cockpit safety systems. It's preparing to impose potentially disruptive flight restrictions at airports in some of the country's biggest cities if the 5G rollout goes ahead as planned. Twitter has permanently suspended one of Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene's verified accounts from its platform. The company said the Republican Congresswoman's personal account had repeatedly violated its policy on sharing false or misleading information about COVID-19. According to a person familiar with the matter, the tweet that prompted her permanent suspension falsely claimed that deaths from coronavirus vaccines were being ignored. A separate account maintained by Greene's congressional office, @RepMTG, remains active. And the tech conference CES kicks off today. After going fully remote last year, the massive Las Vegas show will be held in person this year. Despite Omicron outbreaks during the holiday season, some 75,000 people are expected to attend. But it will be different from past years. Organizers plan to end a day early as a safety measure. A few high-profile speakers, including General Motors CEO Mary Barra, will address the conference remotely. And several tech giants, including Alphabet, Microsoft, and Meta, are opting out entirely. We'll have updates and takeaways from CES this week. All right, coming up, why this could be the year you start trusting your gadgets with your health and start rooming with a robot. A look at 2022 tech trends after the break.
This episode or podcast is sponsored by The Motley Fool. With the market all over the place this past year, it's never been more important to know just where to park your hard-earned cash. Motley Fool Stock Advisor is a subscription stock picking service that recommends two brand new stocks to its members each month sent directly to their inbox. Stock Advisor members also receive new stock picks every month from legendary investors. The Motley Fool is now offering 60% off of Stock Advisor for new members for their first year, plus a membership fee back guarantee. Just go to fool.com/WSJ. Based on $199 per year list price, introductory promotion for new members only.
Predicting the future, especially in a fast-paced industry like technology, can feel futile. But those who keep an eye on the latest tech developments, speak to tech leaders, and test out new gadgets themselves have developed a pretty good intuition for what's coming next. And who better than the WSJ's very own tech columnist to discuss what they're keeping an eye out for in 2022? Christopher Mims, Nicole Nguyen, and Joanna Stern, thanks for joining us.
Hey.
Hey. Where else would we be?
You know, in the last couple of years, we've seen a boom in electric car sales. Christopher, people keep predicting that EVs are going to replace gas vehicles. When is that going to happen? Is it this year?
Well, that'll happen when consumers decide that they want that to happen. The main thing slowing it down is new cars are expensive. People are holding on to cars longer than ever. So the turnover of the sort of cumulative U.S. fleet is getting slower. But, you know, we're already at a point where you can buy an electric vehicle that, especially after federal incentives, will cost you less than a comparable gasoline vehicle. We have crossed that threshold in a couple of instances. And, you know, this despite the global chip shortage, you know, it's not just about luxury EVs anymore. There's a ton of affordable ones coming. And once you throw in all the incentives and you look at the reduced repair cost and, of course, the reduced fuel cost of an electric vehicle, it certainly makes a lot of sense for a lot of buyers.
You know, something else we've talked about a lot for the past few years is our health, and not just with the pandemic. More people are monitoring not just how much they exercise, but their overall health using tech. You know, those gadgets, though, they often feel a bit imperfect. Nicole, this is something you've been monitoring. Is it going to get any better in 2022?
Hardware makers are certainly thinking more creatively about where to put health sensors so that they are more accurate and we do wear them more regularly so they can capture this sort of 24/7 data that's needed to give you an accurate analysis of what's going on day to day. This year, the next big health device is likely your earbuds. There are reports in the Wall Street Journal that Apple is studying the potential of AirPods to read body temperature and also things like monitoring your posture. And so hopefully we'll see that very soon.
I guess we can't talk about future tech without talking about the metaverse. And we heard a lot about the metaverse last year. But the other thing we heard was it's just not here yet. So, Joanna, how much closer are we going to be in 2022?
I'm not really sure when the metaverse is going to be here. Might never be here. But in 2022, we're going to hear a lot more about mixed reality or virtual reality and maybe augmented reality. But all of these things are really going to be possible through headsets. And they all have slight differences about how they work. But the idea is that we're going to have digital objects that we see through these glasses. And so the leader in this space has been Meta, formerly Facebook. They have the Quest 2 out right now. And this is a lower cost device. It's a good device. But this coming year, they're going to release something called Project Cambria. This is a code name for a new headset that is higher end. It's going to be more expensive, but it's going to have more sensors, more cameras to make your avatar, which is a big part of who we may be in this metaverse, right? We're going to be represented through these avatars. And this headset's going to make your avatar more like you. So you would smile in the real world and your avatar would smile in the digital world. And they're also going to have more features that make it closer to augmented reality, which is the overlaying of digital objects in your real world. So you might be able to, say, you see a big screen over your desk, but you'd also be able to see through to your mouse and keyboard.
And Joanna, one of the other things that we sometimes hear when we're discussing the metaverse is about, you know, blockchain and then related to that, digital currencies. I feel like every time I hear about digital currencies, I just feel like I'm behind the ball, but also like it's just this volatile investment that folks like Elon Musk are getting into. When is digital currency going to become something that we're actively using? I mean, does anything change this year?
Yeah, and I think just to set the kind of record straight for listeners, is there's been a lot of conflation of these terms, right? We've been hearing Web3 and blockchain and NFTs and metaverse, and all of these terms have popped up really towards the end of 2021. And everyone's talking about them like they're the same thing. And they kind of relate, but they don't always relate. But with the sense of Web3, it's the metaverse could build on some aspects of it in the sense that with Web3, the idea is that we are going to have a more decentralized internet where we don't rely on these big tech companies to power everything we do. And so instead, we've got smaller companies and we own our things. We own specific cryptocurrency or NFTs that enable us to bring that to this new web and this new structure of the web. And so cryptocurrency fits into that in the sense that, okay, are we going to use crypto now in this world of on the web, but also are we going to use crypto in our real world? And I think we're going to see a big move into that in 2022, where more places and more apps that we actually use right now are going to accept crypto. We've already seen that this year from Venmo and the Cash App. And on top of that, you've got other companies like Instagram saying they're actively exploring NFTs. And so more and more of the apps we currently use are going to probably have this Web3 or crypto or NFT type of functionality.
2021 did feel like it was the year of tech buzzwords, or kind of like a tech buzzword soup, everything getting mixed in together. What about some, like, actual tech that I might see and use? I mean, drones are something I feel like we've been promised are going to be useful for ages, and they have lots of uses, but, like, when is a drone actually going to come and do something useful for me as an individual? Christopher, anytime soon?
If you live near Bentonville, Arkansas, or Charlotte, North Carolina, or the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, this is the year that you could get a commercial drone delivery, you know, if you haven't started already. These are the sites where various companies like Zipline and Flytrex are delivering goods for, you know, pharmacies, for Walmart, for, you know, restaurants and coffee shops. And what's happened is, you know, the technology is quite mature. I mean, the amazing thing is that there's drone deliveries all over the world right now, but the Federal Aviation Administration has been really slow to approve things that are critical for drone delivery, like automated flight and, you know, flying beyond the line of sight of a drone pilot. And as the FAA has started to get more comfortable with these services and these technologies, they're allowing people to kind of do these deliveries on a trial basis. And that's why the Alphabet subsidiary Wing Aviation is going to start to do deliveries in Dallas-Fort Worth. It's the first time that there's going to be, you know, at scale drone delivery in a city in the US. And so this is coming. They take a couple different forms. I mean, one of them is kind of like a skyhook model where they just like lower a little package on a cable from a quadcopter. Another one uses an electric fixed wing aircraft, which basically bombs your house with whatever you've ordered. You have to designate an area the size of two parking spots, and it just drops a little package right there. So
that seems like a terrifying way to receive a package.
Yeah. I mean, don't stand under it when it's coming. I mean, there's a little parachute. So this is very much here in 2022. And I predict that Instagram and TikTok are going to fill up with stories in which people, you know, order things via drone to amuse their friends.
And on the topic of tech that could directly improve our lives, the sci-fi dream is, of course, to have robots that can take care of everything that we need. We've seen some developments in this area, but how close are we to that becoming a reality?
Not this year. Not yet, not next year either, but not this year or next year. But there are some robots coming in 2022 that I think are the step to that. And the big one that people are talking about is Amazon's Astro. And they introduced this at the end of 2021. And it's an Alexa-integrated household robot. And it uses sensors and it has wheels to roam around your home. And it learns parts of your home. So it knows where you commonly hang out. And it sort of rolls over to those areas to help you with things. Now, the question is really, what is it helping you with? It has Alexa built in. So you can ask Alexa to play music and ask other questions and, you know, talk to others. It has a screen on it. But this is just the start of this for Amazon. I spoke to David Limp, the senior vice president of devices and services at Amazon, and they said this is really just the first step to what they call ambient intelligence, where our computers fade to the background and let us interact with the real world without, you know, putting our head in our phone or our laptop. And so this is something that they began shipping at the end of last year. It's $1,000, but it's invite only. So you have to go to Amazon, sign up to be selected to be in this program. But Mr. Limp said actually they've been super surprised at how many people have done that. And so they're now working on increasing inventory for 2022, and that in early 2022, they will start shipping to more of the people who have requested invites.
Joanna, can't we safely say that ambient intelligence is also another word for ubiquitous surveillance?
I thought you were going to say another word for BS, but that is a nice way to put it, Christopher. I think that is going to be another huge question that's raised with especially a robot from Amazon, right? This thing has cameras on it. One of the reasons it has cameras on it is actually for a nice purpose, which is something called Alexa Together, that if you were to buy this for one of your loved ones who's older and you wanted to check in on them, but anything with cameras that roams around your house, there's potential, you know, bad uses, get that into the wrong hands of people. So yes, I agree that it's going to be a big question mark around this.
All right, so we're talking about new gadgets. Likely means some of us are going to be throwing out some of our old gadgets. But we hear a lot of tech companies talk about wanting to be more sustainable, wanting to reduce their carbon footprint. So, Nicole, in 2022, are we going to get any closer to that?
That's exactly right. In every major tech keynote last year, there was some mention of a way in which that company was making a pro-climate statement or action. Most major tech companies had committed to allocating some of their energy consumption to renewables. But what was different last year is we saw consumer products that actually featured some of these pro-climate initiatives. So Microsoft made a mouse with recovered ocean plastic. Apple's new models contained recycled materials, down to some of the rare earth materials in the chip itself, not just the aluminum on the outside. Amazon's new Echo display was also made with recycled plastics and features this low energy mode when it's idle. So it shows that a lot of these tech companies are thinking about ways in which their consumer products can also be sustainable. But a lot of folks that I spoke to said that the real problem isn't just low-powered products and recycled materials in products. It's that the industry develops products with a very short lifespan and that they're hard to repair and often end up in landfills after a couple of years. And so in order to really save the environment, a lot of these companies will have to make hardware with repairability in mind.
Well, it certainly sounds like there is a lot to look forward to in 2022, hopefully. Thank you guys so much for joining us. That's our tech columnist, Christopher Mims, personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen, and senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Zoe.
And that's it for today's tech news briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.